right, 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in the Word of God for this evening, if you would please. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 3. And I want to begin reading. I want to put in at verse number 9. Yeah, thank you, Brother Robert. And appreciate that. I'm kind of forgetful when I get to talking like that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. And dear Brother Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, he said, "For we are laborers together with God. Amen. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Yep. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Man. But he himself shall be saved, yet so, as by fire." Yep. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the privileges hour to be back in the house of God. Thank you for a good day, a wonderful day that you've given us, a precious day. Thank you, Lord, for your people and their faithfulness to the house of God, being back tonight in their place. I thank you tonight, Lord, for your blood that was shed and your precious life that was given for us. I pray for divine help tonight. I realize, Lord, without you, it'd be an impossibility for me to say anything that would be a blessing or a help to your people. I want to say words, Lord, that may be taken as words of wisdom and encouragement, strength. And I want to tell those, Lord, that are here, may be lost or outside by the radio, that they need to flee to Calvary, lay hold upon eternal life. I pray now that you'll bless every family. Those that are sick, help them, I pray. I ask you to give grace to those that are in trouble and in need tonight, special needs. Again, I pray for liberty and power, an unction from the Spirit of God. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. We'll make sure I'm right there. All right. Laying kind of the joking aside, I suppose, if I possibly can for a little while. I want to preach to you out of these scriptures. Now, really, the only title I could come up with is "How I Want to Be Standing When I Stand at the Judgment Seat." How I want to be standing when I stand at the judgment seat. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. And probably I think everyone would agree with the fact that the Corinthian church was the most carnal church in all the New Testament churches. There were divisions among them here in chapter number 3. And Brother Paul said he believed that, the word that he had heard, that those divisions were there. He said, because some of you say that you're of Paul, and another one will say of Apollos, and yet another one may even say I'm of Cephas, and some may say that I'm of Christ. Paul goes into a discourse here concerning planting and watering in the work and the labor of God's vineyard. And he said, "I planted." He said, "Another watered." But here's where the blessing comes in. He said, "But it's God that giveth the increase." Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, we have nothing tonight to boast about in ourselves. When we've done all that we can do and the best that can possibly be done, we ought to look in the mirror and say, we're just unprofitable servants. Because without Him, we can do nothing. And that's the truth Paul is trying to get across to them. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered," but he said, "God is the one that gives the increase." Yeah. So he said, "Neither he that planteth anything, neither he that yet watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. Then he begins to talk about how he is a wise master builder, that we're laborers together with God, that we're God's husbandry, that we're God's building, and that we're laborers together with him. And as a wise master builder, Paul said, I've laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But he better be careful how he buildeth thereupon. Because he said, there's no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he begins to talk about the way a man builds with gold and silver and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble. And he talks about every man's work being made manifest and a day declaring it and how it's going to be revealed by fire. And a man can gain reward or a man can suffer loss depending on how he's built upon that foundation. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to have some rewards when I get there. I certainly don't want to suffer loss. Now, if you'll get a hold of that, suffering loss tells me that you had something sometime or another and lost it. So what I believe that we can go along, work and labor for God and build up our rewards, but there may come a time in our life when we might lose those rewards that we have gained in working for God. Now, I want to mention about three things tonight by way of introduction, and I'm going to stay within the 30 minutes, but I'll have to quit in the middle of the message, all right? I want to mention about three things that I think is necessary for you and I to consider in appearing at the judgment seat. Before I get into the message, there's three things that actually I see here that we need to consider about appearing before the judgment seat. And one of those things is the element of faith. You know, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And we're not going very far in this sojourn of ours without some real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and when some faith in His Word. And the Bible said, and the just shall live by faith. And so we're going to have that element of faith if we're going to get anywhere with God or get anything built upon this foundation. I'll read through Hebrews 11. It's a wonderful chapter. And each one of those in that hall of faith, some call them the heroes of faith. And every one of them had a certain amount of faith in something that they done. For instance, it was Abraham that his faith led him to depart from his own country and go out looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. It was by faith that Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God and was not. It was by faith that Noah built an ark and found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it was by faith that Sarah conceived when it was beyond the time that she ought to conceive. And I could go on and on and on. But you know, if we're going to build on this foundation, when we appear at the judgment seat of Almighty God, we're going to have to make sure that we have lived a life of faith. I'm not talking about living a life of unbelief. I'm talking about living a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And there's some things here that we ought to have faith in. Notice what he said in verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're laborers together with God. I don't think we're going to have some faith in the builder. We're going to have some faith in Almighty God. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now I'm telling you, we're going to have to believe that God is building a spiritual house for His honor and for His glory. We're not going to get far in this Christian life of ours. We're going to have very little at the judgment seat of Christ. The building is not built, ladies and gentlemen, simply by you and I, but that building is built by Almighty God. It says so here in the Bible. He said, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And it's God that is building that building. It's just like Christ said in the New Testament, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to hear me well tonight. There's not a man in here that's building a church. I've heard preachers say, when I get to my church, no preacher has a church. This is not my church, this is the Lord's church. Hey, upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. I'm going to say to you now, I've got confidence in him doing that. Though the storms may rage around us and the winds may blow and the storm clouds arise, but thank God we have got a person in the Lord Jesus Christ who is going to build, he's going to build that church upon the rock. You can just take that to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to have faith tonight in the builder. In the builder. Then I want to say, well, have a little faith in the building. He said, in the building, ye are God's building. And if I can bring that down to the church, I think we ought to have a little bit of faith in the house of God. It's like Brother Steve said this morning, as long as the head's above the water, the body is not going to drown. And I'm telling you, the Lord is building the church, and it is not going down, ladies and gentlemen. It's going up. Somebody said, well, it's kind of dead around here. Well, yeah, and I can tell you a lot of other places it's kind of dead too. But that don't mean necessarily that God, that don't mean God's not on the throne. That does not mean that God, the Lord, is not building His church. That does not mean that we're not in the will of God. I'm telling you, it's hard to shout when the devil is on your back and whispering in your ear, amen, and lying to you in your heart and doing everything he can do to draw you away from God and, amen, and cause you to fall out with somebody else in the house of God and sow discord or trouble amongst the saints of God. Now, I've got faith in the builder. I've got faith in the building. Yes, sir, I've been riding this old ship of Zion for a long time. And it's not going down. It's the Lord's church. Amen to God. And I'm telling you, I'm glad that it is. It's not mine. I wouldn't know how to take care of it. But He does. And God's people make up that church. And hey, and God has saved to put every one of us in the church where we belong. Now, He talks about, I believe, over there in the book of Ephesians. In the book of 1 Peter, he said, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so, hey, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, we're lively stones. And we're built, God is using lively stones to build a spiritual house. Lively stones simply means we're alive. We was dead, but now we're alive. We're dead in sin, but now we've been cleansed. Amen. Well, we were sinners, but now we're washed. Now we're made clean, now we're made whole. And we're lively stones. We're alive, ladies and gentlemen. We're not dead. We're alive, thank God. And He is building a spiritual house with lively stones. And we ought to have a little bit of faith tonight in that house that God's building. Faith in the builder and faith in the building. Without Him, we'll not go far with God. Now, He also talks about over in the book of Ephesians and chapter number 5, if you want to. I'm sorry, I think it's chapter number 2. I'll find it, whichever chapter it's in. And I didn't mark all my scriptures tonight. Sometimes I do that. It's a little easier for me if I do. He said in Ephesians 2 and verse 19, he said, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So I said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God is building him a house of lively stones, and he's making it as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Hey, we need to get a hold of that tonight. The church that Jesus Christ is building is a church of a living stone. They were dead, but they're alive, and they're a spiritual house. Amen to God. That is exactly right. And that spiritual house is built upon that foundation, it said there in the scripture I just read. Amen. And we're a lively stone built up tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we got to have a little bit of faith in the builder. We got to have a little bit of faith in the building. Then I want to say we got to have a little bit of faith in the banner. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, The banner of the cross. Amen. If we don't have some faith in the cross to do the work, yeah. Why am I up here tonight? Why are you in here tonight? Yeah. Praise God, I think we ought to raise that old blood-stained banner high tonight. I've still got faith tonight in the cross doing the job, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, when pony rides and bubble gum and passing out hot dogs and all that, when those things fail and don't get the job done, the preaching of the cross will still get it done. And I'm telling you, we ought to wave high the banner of the cross, thank God. We got a banner to raise tonight. I've got a little bit of faith in it. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God. Thank God the cross is still doing the job. It's still got power to save sinners. Amen. This new neo-evangelical Christianity that's moved into our country is not very new to God. It started moving in a long time ago. Charles Spurgeon liked to die because of it. He fought it, creeping in his day. Amen. Now I'm telling you, you'd be amazed tonight if I stood up here and went through all the things that some preachers I've seen use to get little boys and girls to the altar, to squeeze a little prayer out of them, and cause them to believe that they're saved by saying some little old prayer, and all they have done is made a twofold more child of hell out of that child. Amen. Amen. I've seen them all from candy bars. If you want to be saved, come and get this candy bar. Well, I'm going to tell you, if I helped a zero out there tonight, said, if you want to get saved, young boy, one of you boys or girls come up here and get this candy bar, I'd probably have a stampede on my hand. They'd want this candy bar. But I'm going to tell you what, you get all the candy bars you want to eat now and go to hell. Amen. Candy bars and bubble gum ain't going to get the job done. I'm here to amen. And if you get them in with hot dogs, somebody else will get them in with hamburgers. Somebody gets them in with hamburgers, somebody else will get them in with pizzas. Then that'll run the whole crowd off because they're about to be deafened, so bad nobody won't be around one another. I'm trying to get some kind of emotion out of you here, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of help. A little bit of feedback. But that's right. We got to have some faith in the builder and faith in the building. We got to have a little bit of faith in the banner of the cross. Now I'm going to say secondly, there's not only the element of faith, but I see the excellency of the foundation. The excellency of the foundation. He said there in our text, he said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now I say it's an excellent foundation because it is unique. Now, if you know what unique means there's only one of a kind. Amen. Paul said there is none other foundation that can be laid. Amen. As a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. Amen. But brother, you better take heed how you build thereon, because there's not another foundation that a man can lay. I tell you, men are trying to build churches all over America tonight, and they're on the wrong foundation. They're trying to build them with hymn sayings, and they're trying to build them with all sorts of mechanicalism and all sorts of neo-evangelicalism, and they're not going to get built on that. They're going to have to get built on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's found in the Bible, by the way. He's found in the Bible. That's what you got to build on. Amen. About to get started a little bit now. Y'all done made me mad. That's right. It's unique. Brother, not another foundation can be laid other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if an angel of God would come and try to convince you otherwise. Don't you believe that? Because it's already in the book. And it's unique. There's only one. You know, I'm telling you, that's wonderful. If you know anything about knife collecting or gun collecting, let's say knife collecting. Brother Wayne Smith and I went to a knife show over in Elizabethtown one Saturday. They had the case dealers up there, and they had the big wheels from Case, and they had pocket knives with their name signed on them and all that and everything. And Brother Steve will remember this. That's when I was collecting them little pocket hunters, Brother Steve. When they had a little auction, they was going to try to make a little money. They had a little auction outside, and the man that owned the store there had a hardware store, and he had thousands of knives of his own. Then he had case knives all over the place in there. They had a little auction outside, and they auctioned a couple of knives off, and they said, all right, said, folks said, we, and they always found them up in the attic. I don't know why, but they always find them special knives up in the attic. And they said, we found this little pocket hunter up in the attic where they was making them. Said, I don't know how it got up there. Well, I imagine John Doe carried it up there last week. Amen. I say amen right there. But it was a pearl handled little knife. They said, it's got on the blade of it, prototype. Said, oh, it's just one of a kind. There's not another like it. Said, this is a very unique pocket knife. Ain't another in the country, nowhere like it. And I was collecting them at that time. And if Miss All knew this, she'd have probably skinned me good. But I'm going to tell you, they started bidding on that little knife. And I'm going to tell you, it started going a little bit, and it got up to about $1,000. And I said, Lord, $1,000, and it stopped. And I hid it for 11. Another woman over here hid it for 12. And we kept jockeying backwards and forth. The last bid that I made, don't shoot me, baby, the last bid that I made on a little old pocket knife that they said was unique because they found it in an attic and it had prototype on the blade. They get a real prototype on the blade in there in that shop 5 minutes before we got there. I bid $2,300 on that knife. And that woman said, 24. And she looked at me like that. And I said, that woman means something. So I backed off. And when the sale was over, she came over to me. And she said, I'm going to tell you something, sir. She said, I don't know how much money you got, but I know how much I got. And you wasn't buying that knife. I don't care what you'd have bid on it. I said to myself, Lord, I wish I'd have known that. I'd have made Case Brothers rich. Amen. I'd have run her sky high, but I dropped the bombshell on her. But can you imagine paying $2,400 for a little old pocket knife that they say is unique? Nobody's got anything like it. But I'm here to tell you, we got a foundation tonight that is unique. You know why it's unique? That foundation is Jesus Christ, and ain't another like Him nowhere in the world. Or in the heavens or beneath the earth, there's not another like Him. Hallelujah to God. He's unique, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't not another Jesus. I don't know another Jesus. Ain't not another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. He's unique tonight. Amen. Thank God. I'm about to get like a novice again tonight. Y'all carry me out of here. Just singing a sweet by and by. Praise God. Throw me across the creek and just let me die in there. Amen. That way I can at least say I'm make it stand in any gap. Amen. You'll catch that after a while. Hallelujah. And but the excellence of the foundation is unique. Now you know you try to literate your outlines and something gets you in trouble. And I wanted to use the word unilateral. So I get out my 1828 and unilateral means just one party. I thought, Lord, how am I going to do this? And I said, well, I'll use it this way. I said, that foundation is not unilateral. It's not unilateral. It's not for just one party. There's more than one party building upon this. Hey, in fact, you can build on a wood, hand, stubble, or you can build on it gold, silver, and precious stones. That's how ununilateral it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You can either build something on it that will profit you, or you can build something on it that will cost you damage and loss when you stand before God. I don't want to stand before God empty. I want to stand before Him full of God and full finished in everything God's ever called me to do. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right, ain't it? I know that's right. And so it's unique, but it's not unilateral. You can build on a wood, hay, and stubble, and that day declare it, and it'll be manifest by fire. It'll be manifest and revealed by fire, and your works will be revealed. And I'm telling you, if they ain't done in the right motive with the right attitude and for the right reasons, you'll have nothing. Amen. There's going to be a lot of preachers standing there with nothing. Amen. Because everything that was done, they tried to do it themselves. They tried to build the church. Oh, we've got the best choir in the country. Well, la-di-da-di-da.
Honolulu.
Hawaii, Hawaii, Hawaii.
We got the best Christian school in the country. We got the best singers in the country. We're wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, Mr. Braggadocious, that don't always mean anything. I'm going to tell you, that church has got to be built for the right reason. And if a man is generally bragging about how he has built the church and what he's got in his church, I'll guarantee you he ain't got much. Because he's the man building it and not God. God is the builder. We're just laborers together with him. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right. Most folks are building on it wood, hay, and stubble. There's not much gold, silver, and precious stones about it. So it's not unilateral. Then I want to say that you can build, hey, I hope I found this right. You can build useless things, wood, hay, and stubble, or you can build useful things, gold, silver, and precious stones. Then I want to say that foundation also is unveiling. Look at verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Why? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'm telling you, hey, the judgment seat. Well, I've heard Brother Preacher say, "Boy, I'd be glad to get to the judgment seat." I don't know about that for me. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be a fiery trial. Amen. It's not going to be much fun with fire burning that which is wood, hay, and stubble out of our lives to reveal what is left of gold, silver, and precious stones. And if there's no gold, silver, and precious stones, we'll be found standing in the ashes. There won't be a thing left there for us. That's right. So you can build those useful things on it. You can build some useless things on it. Amen. That's right. And it's going to be unveiled. It's going to be unveiled. It's going to be made manifest. You mark it down. But here is the blessing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But he said, but they themselves shall be saved, yet so is my fire.
Yep.
Somebody said, can you explain that? I don't know. But you've heard the old expression, fight fire with fire.
Amen.
That's about the only answer I can give. You shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now, I don't know exactly how to explain that. I wish I did. But that same fire that tries us and burns away that wood, hay, and stubble, that fire is going to be the same fire that we're saved by. And don't ask me how it works, but it works because the Bible says so. I'll give you an answer. I'll give you something to chew on. How many of y'all chewing on what I give you this morning about that Passover? That man they freed every year to Passover. Every year they turned him loose, freed him at the Passover every year. I'm still chewing on that one. Amen. Now, so it's unveiling. It's going to be, your works are going to be made manifest. And it can be rewarding. Verse 14 and 15, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then I want to say, thirdly, in my introduction, I want to consider my earthly finish, how I finish this thing. It's not so much how you started, folks, but it's how you finished that really. Because, hey, death comes. Death comes, hey. But after this, the judgment. Oh, yes, and I'm telling you, it's how you finish this race. It's what's really going to make the difference. You better believe that's right. Now, I want to finish this race. I want to finish it right, don't you? I don't want to get entangled up in sin. I don't want to get out of church. I don't want to get out of sorts. I don't want sin in my life. I want to finish it right. Oh, yeah. Stand at the judgment seat right. Hallelujah to God. If I'm telling you, if you'll stay on the right road,
You'll never come out in the wrong place at the judgment seat. When that, if you're on that foundation and you've built gold, silver, and precious stones, I'll guarantee you'll come out right if you just stay right. You'll come out right. You can't go wrong by staying right. And you can't do wrong by doing right. And you can't do right by doing wrong. Amen. Anybody listening now? I want to finish it right. Then I want to say, I want to finish the race. I want to finish the race. Brother, I'll tell you, there's a race that's been set before us. And I want to run it. I don't know about you. I want to run that race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't want to be a castaway like Paul talks about in Corinthians. I don't want to be on the shelf. God forbid. God help me to never be put on the shelf. There may come a day when I may, my physical body may not let me preach. But if there come that day, I certainly don't want to be on the shelf. Oh, no, sir. If it comes that way because of health or something, and God does it, so be it. But not on the shelf because of sin, ladies and gentlemen. No, sir. Amen. I want to finish right, and I want to finish the race. I never did like somebody to fall out. Well, they told us in Vietnam, if you fall out, you're on your own, bud. And I'm going to tell you, you didn't want on your own over in some of the places I was in. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of them Charlies laying around in the weeds. Them fellas, them little black nightgowns. Them little pointed hats. Look like the wicked witch of the whatever. North or east, whatever she was. You better not fall out. I'm going to tell you, the devil is looking. The devil is looking for whom he may devour. He's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know who he devours, who he finds? Stragglers! Those that are straggling, those that are falling behind, those that are falling out, that's the very ones he's going to wind up getting, ladies and gentlemen. You can just mark that down. Now, I want to finish right, and I want to finish the race. I want to say thirdly, I want to finish rejoicing. Whoop! They do. Somebody said, preacher, you got scripture for that? I sure do. The Bible said that Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him. For the joy, the J-O-Y, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and despised the shame, but it was for the joy that was set before him. Amen. That's right. Buddy, I want to have a little joy when I leave this thing. I don't want to be whooped by the devil or the flesh, either one, or by the world. No, sir. None of them. I want to leave this world rejoicing down in my soul. Now, that brings me to my message. Somebody said, God help us. It's not much. But how I want to finish, how I want to be standing when I finish. Very quickly, and I'm just about done. I'm not 30 minutes yet either. I want to be standing empty of self. When I stand at that judgment seat before Christ, I don't want one ounce of Gary Hall to be there. None! Oh yes, I want to be empty! But in return, I want to be full! Empty of self and full of Christ, amen! That's right. I'm telling you, stand there full of Christ, I'll guarantee you, you'll never be burned, you'll never be scorched! There'll be no wood, hand, stubble. It'll be all gold, silver, and precious stones. There won't be any loss. There'll be rewards, but there won't be any loss, ladies and gentlemen. If you empty yourself of self now, I'm telling you, we're generally the most self-centered people in all the world. Selfish, most selfish people in all the world. God help us. I want to stand there empty. Brother Troy, myself. Amen. Nothing. I'm going to tell you, you know how I can tell when people's got self in them? If somebody says something that crosses them a little bit, they get mad. If I took this glass of water, if I took this glass and filled it on up with water and set it down there on that pulpit and shook that pulpit, you know what would come out of it? Water. If it's down here and I shake it a little bit, ain't nothing going to come out of it. Because it ain't full enough for anything to come out. That means there ain't nothing there. But if I fill it up with water, water's going to come out. And I'm telling you, whatever a man, you shake a man a little bit. You just shake him on the inside a little bit. Amen. I'm telling you, what's in there will come out. And if it comes out and it ain't grace, it ain't love, it ain't mercy, it ain't forgiveness, I'm going to tell you, there ain't much there, ladies and gentlemen. You're filled up with self. If self comes out of you, you've got a real problem in your heart. I'm going to tell you who needs to come out, boy, when we're shook like that. Jesus needs to come out. Amen. That's right. Amen. Brother Allen, I said, amen. I'm brilliant tonight. Amen. Don't want any self coming out. I want to be empty of self. I want to say number two. Not only empty of self, but I want to be enlightened by the Spirit. When I stand there, I want to have lived a life that's been enlightened by the Spirit of God. Oh, bless His holy name. That He does give us light to live by. No doubt about it. And I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of God can enlighten us in His Word. More enlighten us in God's ways. He can enlighten us in God's will. I'm going to tell you, and I want to be enlightened by Him. I don't want my own light. If I have my own light, I'll walk in darkness. And I'll surely stumble. But I'm going to tell you, if I walk in the light of the Lord, they that do will never stumble, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I want to be empty of self, and I want to be enlightened by the Spirit. I want to say number three, I want to be educated in the Word. That's right. We educate our kids. Now, I'm not against education, but we send them off to universities and schools, and most of them come back infidels. That's right. You better be careful sending your children off to universities today and schools. They'll learn some things that are no good there. Brother, if they're not grounded in the Word of God, they're gone. The world will eat them up. The world will devour their flesh worse than a lion devouring his prey, I'm telling you. That's right. Amen. So I want to be enlightened by His Spirit, and I want to be educated by the Word, or in the Word. I want to say also, number four, I want to be involved in the work of God. Buddy, I don't want to be sitting on the... Even if I'm on the pew, even if I'm not wasn't a preacher, I'd want to be doing something for God. I don't see how people can stand to be saved, not be involved somehow in the work, in the ministry that God's put in us. Hey, God, we're God's husbandry. We're God's building. It's God's ministry. And if it's God's ministry and we're His husbandry and His building and He put us in it, how can we not be involved in the work of the building of the spiritual house that God's making out of it? Better believe that's right. I won't be involved in the work when I stand there. And lastly, 33 minutes. When I stand there, I still want to be enjoying my family. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, I don't want to falling out in my family, especially between me and my wife. We've had 44 plus wonderful years together. Now, certainly, hey, when I stand before Jesus on that judgment seat and I build upon that foundation, I want Him to say, here's your reward. This reward is because you and your wife lived together all them years and stayed together and tried to do a work for me. Here's your reward. You done all you could do. It may not all be in, but you done all you could do to get them in. You prayed for them and preached to them and gave them counsel. You done all you can do. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we've done all we can do, that's all we can do. And I want to do all I can do. My family. That's right. I want to be enjoying their company, their fellowship. I wish all the little devils and egg suckers were still right around here and would stay here. I wish they'd all in this church. That way I could skin them good. Amen. That's right. But they can't. I know it couldn't, but He's given us several years together. Not to say we're a perfect family. Not to say we've not had our disagreements. We have. Not to say we've not had troubles. We have. But I'm here to tell you, God somehow, some way, has at least kept us on speaking terms. Amen. I know you'd be surprised that families are not even on speaking terms. Can't even talk to one another. I don't want to be that way. You know what? I say this humbly. I'm not, but I want to be. So I'm not bragging. But I want to be so humble that if somebody chews on me, that I'm able to take it. I kid these guys. They think that I'm mean, really. You ask him what he thinks about some things I do. You ask him, but I wouldn't. No, sir, I want to have some humility about me. And I certainly want to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. All of them. That's right. When I stand at that judgment seat, I want to be right with God. Let's stand together.